Looks like we don't have any specials this afternoon. I'm still waiting on Bill Dawns. I feel like he's going to hurry. Have to hurry. Run out of time. Luke chapter 1. You guys want to stand with me? We'll pray before we read the text. If you're able. We want to remember that as we come to the Word of God, this is the very Word of God. We want to hear from Him. We're looking for God to speak to us, so let's keep that in mind as we pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this afternoon. Thank you for those who are able to gather. And we do pray for those who are not here. Those traveling, we pray you'll bring them home safe. Those who are sick and hurting and just unable to get out, we pray that you'll heal them, that you'll give them peace and comfort and grace in their affliction. We pray for others who maybe could be here and have chosen other things. Lord, just work in every heart. Lord, we love your people. We love our church family. And we pray that you'll help us all to gather together every time we can to love you, to worship you, to encourage one another in our service to you. And Lord, as we approach the Word of God this afternoon, I pray that you would speak to us through your Word. I pray, God, you'd help me to speak the truth in love, and that you would speak to us, that you would teach us by your Spirit, guide us into all truth. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless your Word in spite of me. Help us, Lord, to be real disciples. Help us to make disciples for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, we're gonna read the verses we read this morning one more time and then move on from there. Chapter 1, verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. We covered these verses this morning, and you'll remember Elizabeth was barren. They had no children, but Zacharias had gone to the temple to do his job, which at that time was to burn incense. And from what I understand, there was something like 18,000 of the Levitical priests, and they had by rotations different appointments that they would do, and not every one of them would have the opportunity to do the job that he was doing. In other words, a Levite could go his whole life and never do that job. So it was a privilege, it was a blessing, and of course God appeared to him, or sent a messenger to him. The angel appeared to him and spoke to him there. Now look at verse 18. I want you to pick up there. Verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, why shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. The angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the days that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And if you'll fast forward down to verse 57, Luke 1, verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. So we've kind of jumped ahead of some things, but she had gotten pregnant, waited 5 months before she let anybody know, and now we're another 4 months beyond that, give or take, and she brings forth her son. Verse 58. Her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy unto her, and they rejoiced with her. Just like Gabriel said, many would rejoice at his birth. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. They said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. They made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. So God had said, I want you to name him John. And of course, he couldn't say anything for the last 9 months. And then when the people are trying to name him Zacharias, because that's what happened, according to the law on the eighth day, they would bring those male boys to be circumcised and to be dedicated, and they would give them their official name at that time, and they were going to call him Zacharias because that was the Jewish thing to do. You just pass on names. And some families, you're familiar with that, right? Anybody carry on a family name? All the Dons in the room. Yeah, see? All right, I just got some. Okay. So you carry on those family names. They're passed on from generation to generation. And so that's what happened here. And she's like, no, we're going to call him John. And they're like, but nobody in the family is named John. I mean, you don't even have a great, 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 great grandpa named John. Like, what are you doing? You can't do that. And so they make signs to Zacharias and say, what do you say? And he gets a writing table and he writes the name John, and they are all amazed. They marvel at this. And verse 64, and his mouth was opened immediately and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. If you couldn't talk for 9 months, what would you say when you got to talk again? Well, there's not much telling what you'd say. Honey, there's been some things I've been wanting to say to you for the last 9 months. No, Zacharias, he immediately praised God. He glorified God. The baby that they had prayed for decades was here. And he was overwhelmed with the goodness of God. And he praised God and he glorified God. Fear came on all them that dwelt round about them. And these things were noised abroad throughout the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their heart, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. So everybody around heard about this. Man, they knew who Zacharias and Elizabeth were. They knew how they were not able to have kids. And now God had given them a child in their old age. And they were like, man, we can't wait to see what God does with this kid. That's good, right? Okay. Now look at verse 67. His father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So here it is. Zacharias has finally gotten through. Gabriel said, if you don't believe me, here's how you're going to know. You want to know how you'll know? You're not going to be able to say anything for until the baby's born. And then when he declares, he writes down the name John, his mouth is open, he praises God, he's filled with the Spirit, and he gives this great, great, you could call it a song of praise, like he is just glorifying God. Now, we're talking about influencing others towards Christ. That's what John would do. And so two things I want to talk to you about very quickly this afternoon. If we're going to influence others towards Jesus, it's going to have to come from our walk and our witness. That's pretty simple, right? Our walk and our witness. What do I mean by our walk? Well, our walk is the way we live our life. It matters that our walk matches our talk, right? Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Did you get that? Okay. Or how about this one? What you're doing is screaming so loud nobody can hear what you're saying. You heard that one? What we're saying is that it matters how you live your life. You can't just say Christian-y things. You can't just say the right things. You have to live it out. Because it affects the validity of your testimony. So I want to tell you that John had a right walk with God when he came on the scene because he was a man of integrity. What I mean by integrity, I mean that he didn't just look good on the outside. He was the real deal on the inside. How was he the real deal on the inside? Well, he was filled with the Spirit from the womb. God had said, I'm going to fill him with the Spirit. He said he's going to be holy. He's going to be sanctified. He's going to be great in the sight of God. Not just what men see, but he's going to be good. He's going to be great. He's going to do what's right. And it's not going to be just what everybody on the outside sees. It's going to be on the inside too. That's what Jesus had a problem with the Pharisees and Sadducees, wasn't it? They were whited sepulchers, right? He said, on the outside, you're white, you're clean, it looks really good, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. He said, you wash the outside of the cup and the platter, but on the inside, it's filthy. Integrity is important. How many of you guys have done any metal work? Anybody worked with metal before? All right. How important is it that that metal has integrity? That means that the metal is true. And back in the olden days, and I think some guys still do this, you take a ball peen hammer and you would strike a piece of metal to see if it rings true. Why? What does that mean? Well, if it's got some corrosion or something on the inside that you can't see, it won't ring true. John the Baptist was a man who rang true. He was through and through, he was the real deal. You and I need to be the real deal. Listen, it's great. I know I'm preaching to the choir, right? This is the Sunday afternoon crowd. And you're like, Brother Isaac, we are the cream of the crop. I mean, I should be at home taking my Sunday nap right now, and I'm here listening to you, right? Listen, it may look good on the outside, but what I'm talking about is who we are really. When you get shook up, you find out what comes out, right? That we need to be men and women and boys and girls who really believe in Jesus, who really are striving to live for Jesus, who are dying to ourselves daily and taking up our cross and following him, that it's real, that it's genuine. I want to be real for his sake. But I also want to be real for my family's sake. Listen, kids can spot a fake a mile away. And you want to be real. Be the same thing here. Be the same thing at home, be the same thing at work, be the same thing wherever you are, whoever you're with, you are a follower of Jesus. That's who you are. You're not perfect, you're not sinless, but you're genuine in your walk with him. There was an integrity and there was an intentionality. Listen, John, how about this? I'll say John was born to live for a purpose. Is that pretty easy? I mean, you guys know the rest of the story. He was going to die before Jesus did. They were only 6 months apart in their births. Like these cousins were very close together in age, and they both died very young. Around 30, 33 years old, these guys had already lived and did their purpose that God gave them and died. Can I say this? You were born for a purpose too. Now, I get it. It'd be really nice if God, like, wrote it down in the Bible for you so you could read it, right? You could open it up and be like, Nelson Hendricks, this is his purpose. This is why I made him. But he kind of did, didn't he? I mean, he kind of told us what we're supposed to live for. He kind of called us to follow him so that we could be fishers of men. He kind of said, I want you to be my disciples, and I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. So while we would look at him, we go, man, it's so cool that John had this great calling on his life, and God said exactly what he was going to do and sent him here for a purpose, and he could live with intentionality because he knew what God wanted of him. Can't you do the same thing? Can't you open up the Bible and say, you know what, God put me here for a purpose? He gave me life so that I could know him and so that I could make him known. God gave me a purpose, and we can live with intentionality. And here's why you're here, friends. Listen, you're here to know him and to make him known. I don't know any better way to say that. We live for all kinds of things. We get distracted by all kinds of things. But the reason you're on this planet is to know God and to make him known. That's what we're talking about, influencing other people to Christ. So it has to do with your walk. And John lived it. John lived it. It was real. He had integrity, and it was with purpose. He had intentionality. The second thing this afternoon is his witness. His witness. If you go back over to Luke 1 and about 74, he's just, Zacharias is praising God. John, just an 8-day-old baby, a little bit maybe past that, but he is praising God, he's glorifying God, and he says in verse 74 that God would grant to us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. So there you have the same thing, right? That's living with intentionality and integrity. We want to have that. And then he turns his prophecy toward baby John. And he says, "Thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people." This is it. His witness was go and give knowledge. It's the same thing that Jesus told us, isn't it? Go and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and make disciples. This is what he was going to do. He was going to go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. He's going to go ahead of Jesus to make way for him. And what he's going to do is give knowledge of salvation to the people. So he's going to give knowledge. He's going to preach the truth. He's going to proclaim the truth so that they would know, look, by remission of sins through the tender mercy of God, they could know Jesus. It's through his tender mercy that the day spring from on high has visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And I don't have time to dig into it this afternoon, but just check this out. He was going to go preach to the Jews, but this is already telling us that the gospel was going to go to the Gentiles. That's what he's pointing back to. Prophecy says those that sit in darkness in the shadow of death, that's the Gentiles. That's Zebulun in the way of Naphtali. That's saying that salvation isn't just going to come to the Jews, but he's going to be light to the whole world. And when Jesus showed up, the other John, not John the Baptist, but the other John would say, he came to be a light to everyone that comes into the world. He came to be the true light. And John, he wasn't that light, but he bare witness of that light. Well, guess what? We're not the light, but we get to bear witness of the light. We get to be a witness for him. So God help us, by being filled with the Spirit, to have a real walk that influences others to Christ. That we would have a real witness that would influence others to Christ. And let that start at home. Let it start at home and spread to the rest of the world. Let's stand together.